Go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we're going to start in verses 13 through 17. So James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. The Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together tonight. Guide us according to your will. Father, this is your message. This is your word. And Father, we've come to hear from heaven tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've sung. It reminds us, Lord, of just, Father, not only the relationship we have with you, but the fact that, Lord, there is a place that's been prepared for us that is the perfect place. And Lord, where there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more spiritual battles. Father, it's a beautiful, perfect place that you've prepared. And one day, as we are reminded that we will fly away, we will meet our Lord and Savior in the air. But Father, while we continue living on this earth and living the life that you've given us right now as we journey with Christ, Lord, down life's road, I pray that you would teach us what we need to learn tonight. Lord, encourage us, remind us of the truths of your word. And Father, may we learn how to apply the truths of your word to our life. Father, thank you that we can stand upon the promise that if God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, that we are on the Lord's side. We're on the winning side. And Father, thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Lord, please bless our time. As always, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to us about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Last week we talked about being rooted in Christ. And tonight I want to talk to us about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Because there are two wisdoms in this world. Worldly wisdom or the wisdom of Christ. And godly wisdom is foundational for us to be rooted in Christ, and wisdom is what leads us to every decision we make and every direction we take, from the most seemingly insignificant to the weightiest matters in our life. And I want you to look at two places. Look at, turn to James chapter 1, and then keep a finger in James 1 and go back to Colossians chapter 2. Because as we talk about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ tonight, I want us to look at these two places in Colossians chapter 2 and then James chapter 1 as we compare these two verses. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So we're warned in Colossians, beware of the wisdom of this world that goes against the wisdom of Christ. And then in James chapter 1, you look at verse number 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and it upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So in Colossians, we're warned against the wisdom of this world that goes against Christ. And in James, we are encouraged to seek after the wisdom of Christ so that we are rooted in the wisdom of Christ. Again, last week we talked about just being rooted in Christ, and we want to be rooted in the wisdom of Christ, the wisdom that is not of this world, but the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom of Christ that helps us not only to live the Christian life, but to make sound decisions based on the calling and purpose of God in our life. When you look at James chapter 1, and you, I'm sorry, James chapter 3, you look at verse 13 as we begin, just looking at how godly wisdom is demonstrated in our life. The demonstration of godly wisdom in our life, how we can see it as well as others can see the godly wisdom that is in our life. Look at verse number 13. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom obviously is not merely spoken. There are very intellectual people who are have a lot of wisdom. But wisdom is to be demonstrated in life, in our day-to-day life. It is shown in the things that we do. Yeah, you notice in verse number 13, the first portion of it, it asks a question and it answers the question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? All right, so the question is, who is it? Who is this person that is wise and knowledgeable among you? And the second part says, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So the question is, who is wise and has been given knowledge? The answer is those that you recognize. You'll recognize them based on their life that demonstrates a spirit of meekness and wisdom. Because the Bible does tell us in Proverbs that a fool utters all his mind. There are some times where the Bible even says, you know what? A fool is considered wise who holds his tongue, who doesn't just say everything, all right? But as we live and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to be rooted in Christ, as we talked about last week, we're planted in Christ at the moment of salvation, but we want to remain rooted, growing in the Lord, being nourished by the Word of God, being guided by the Holy Spirit in our life, growing in our faith, becoming more grounded in the truths of God's Word, having that sound mind of the Lord, that we need to be planted and rooted, I should say, rooted in the wisdom of God, and it will bear out in our life. Again, what we learn from God's Word as we study God's Word on a daily basis is God teaches us the truths of His Word. It's not to see if somebody else is following the Word of God. It's not to take the Word of God that is like a mirror and turn it around and point it at everybody else, but it is for us to learn to abide by. It's for us to learn. It's for us to become more rooted in Christ, to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, because we need the wisdom of God in our life for every decision we make, for every step we take in this life. We need the wisdom of God to guide us, knowing that God has our best interest in mind. God has a direction that He wants us to go, and God has things in our life that He wants to accomplish. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, because if we look at just two places in Scripture right now that really shows us that you can see the wisdom of God in someone else's life, and we should be able to see it in our life as well. When you get to Daniel, you get to Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28. Daniel, obviously, he's one of the governors there in Babylon. God raised him into a very prominent position. And even the kings of Babylon have noticed that Daniel has a right spirit and he has the wisdom of God in his life. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream that God's allowed him to have. The dream has troubled him. He's not quite sure, you know, what the dream means and what he needs to do. And Daniel is brought in, verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men," and of course, the wise men he speaks of are the men that are considered wise, according to Nebuchadnezzar, these that are astrologers, these that they seek after false gods. This, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. He goes on to interpret the dream, but he makes mention that it's the God of heaven that reveals secrets. He's letting the king even know that, you know what, it's not me, but it's the God of heaven that will reveal the secrets, the God of heaven that gives true wisdom. And he makes note that the wise men that Nebuchadnezzar trusted in, they couldn't even tell him what the dream was. They even tell him that nobody can. Only the gods can tell you, and the gods aren't going to talk to us. But there's a true living God who does talk to his people and reveal secrets. And Daniel, being a very wise man, because he followed the God of heaven. I want you to look at Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Again, James asks the question, who's wise and has been given knowledge? And the answer being that you'll recognize that person because it's the one whose life demonstrates a spirit of meekness and wisdom. Meekness, again, knowing that God is the one that gives that insight. God gives that wisdom. It's wisdom that can be used to benefit others, but it is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Acts chapter 6, as there was starting to become problems in the early church among those that were widows, the Grecians thought, they thought their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. They wanted the apostles to do something about it. And notice in verse number 3, obviously the apostles tell them, you know, choose you out seven men. But notice what they say in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, those that are honest in their day-to-day lives, those that can be trusted, those that have integrity, full of the Holy Ghost, and wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom was a prerequisite for being one of these first deacons to serve tables, to take care of widows, to meet the needs of others. Because we can take care of other people. We can do things based on man's wisdom and what we think and what someone else may suggest. But honestly, when it comes to the things of God and it comes to taking care of God's people, and also even taking care of those that maybe aren't Christians, but the Lord wants us to take care of them, we do need the wisdom of God to know exactly what to do, how to take care of someone, how to meet their need that not only will meet their need physically, but spiritually as well. And the true test of wisdom is the working out of wisdom in our lives. Look at Philippians 1, because again, go to Philippians chapter 1, but when you think about Acts chapter 6, and they're told these are the types of men you need to seek after to take charge of this affair in the church, meeting the needs of widows. They need to have an honest report, those that can be trusted. They need to be full of the Holy Ghost. They need to have a walk with God, but they need to have God's wisdom as well. And in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 27. This is what I mean by, you know, the true test of wisdom is the fact it's working out in our life. It is shown in our life. Only let your conversation, that word conversation, it's not talking about your speech, it's talking about your lifestyle. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And what is the gospel of Christ? You might say, well, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. Yes, but what do we find in the gospel of Christ? Love, forgiveness, right? Grace. And that is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God helps us to be able to act out, but helps us to have the mind of Christ towards others, helps us to be able to walk in the wisdom of God. And when you think about, look at verse 13 again, back in James, all right? So you ask the question, who is a wise man and do with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, a good life, his works with meekness of wisdom. His works of meekness of wisdom. It is shown, the wisdom of God is shown with a right spirit, a spirit of meekness and wisdom. The world is all about pride. The world is all about lifting oneself up, lifting a person up. But the wisdom of God is always about lifting somebody else up, working in meekness. Again, as I think about those men in Acts chapter 6, they were to be full of the Holy Spirit. They were supposed to be men that had a walk with God, a man that had a good report among the people, and to have wisdom. Those that knew, and they knew that they could follow the ways of God. They knew that God would help them to be able to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish. But when you think about being rooted in the wisdom of Christ, it's always going to be with a meek spirit. It's always going to be with meekness, because Jesus Christ was very meek in dealing with people. You think about the fact that our spirit will indicate whether or not we are walking in the wisdom of God through the Word of God, because this type of wisdom relies completely upon the Lord, whereas the world's wisdom relies upon the world and relies upon pride and does not rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. God's word, though, sways our spirit towards meekness and humility, which again are signs of a wise person, someone who's walking in meekness of wisdom. I want you to think about these four things. Now, how can we know if we are growing in meekness and wisdom? How can we know if we are growing in wisdom and meekness? Number one, we will always seek godly counsel. We'll always seek godly counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. It doesn't always mean godly counsel from your pastor, but where do you find godly counsel? In the Word of God. There is, as Proverbs chapter 11 tells us, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 14. The Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Again, we are still living in this world. We still have a life to live, but now as God's people, as Christians, as Bible-believing, as Bible-believers, we want the wisdom of God to guide us through this world in all aspects and all decision, all areas of our life. We want God to give us the wisdom of this world, because the wisdom of the world, as we'll see in a minute, is contrary. It's the polar opposite of the wisdom of God. Look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. So one way we know that we are growing in meekness, we're growing in wisdom, is that we are always wanting godly counsel. We're always wanting God to give us the wisdom that we need. And if God directs us, you know, to go and talk with somebody else that we know has a walk with God, then that's a good thing. When you look at Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 3. This is probably one of the keys of knowing that we're growing in meekness and wisdom. Romans chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. When I think about this verse, I think about the fact that we'll be willing to admit our failures, because we recognize that we're not perfect. We don't think highly of ourselves. That we know that, you know what, we're capable of making a mistake. And Lord, I'm capable of making the wrong decision. And I need your wisdom to make the right decision. That obviously is for my good and for your glory. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is truly just a probably an introduction to what we're talking about tonight, just some basic things. But again, as God's people, we should continue to have a desire to have the wisdom of Christ guiding our life, and where we rely upon the wisdom of the Lord. Being rooted in the wisdom of Christ is to be rooted in God's word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, you look at verse 7, and the Bible says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" Again, when you think about just growing in meekness and wisdom, it's realizing, you know what? I don't deserve any credit for what happens in my life. God deserves all the credit. When I think back to Daniel, Daniel was taken as a captive to Babylon. God had allowed his people to be overtaken because as a nation, they rebelled against God. Not every single person, but as a nation, their leaders rebelled against God. Therefore, those that were worshiping God and following God were taken away because of somebody else's sin. They were taken away, but God was using that. God was going to use Daniel in a great way to be a wise influence to Nebuchadnezzar, the other kings that he would serve under, Cyrus and Darius. And God would use Daniel in a great way, and God would raise Daniel up to a prominent position, and God would show himself mighty through the life of Daniel. But Daniel was very meek in the fact that he always recognized it was God. And not once, but twice you'll see where Nebuchadnezzar had these two different dreams, one about, you know, the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of famine, then this big, huge statue, and Daniel gives just the wisdom in that. And you think about when Daniel talks to Nebuchadnezzar, he always defers the credit back to God. He says, you know, God's the one that has all wisdom. God's the one that's going to give the answer. And Daniel is just willing to be used of God. Look at you're in 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 31. And I know even right there I made a mistake when I told you that Nebuchadnezzar had the dream of 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. I don't know if any of you caught that. I know Dylan over here caught it because he's smirking, but that was Joseph, not Daniel. All right. So you think about just the fact, because I know sometimes I just kind of throw that out there, because I know sometimes the devil wants to get you and myself off track, that if we hear something, wait, that's not right, then we're completely focused on that instead of, okay, they made a mistake, we'll just move on. All right. So what I'm saying is we do need the wisdom of God, because we do want to make sure that we do say things right, that we don't lead people astray, that we're not led astray as well by the counsel and wisdom of this world. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 31. The Bible says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The fourth thing that we see that we can tell if we personally are growing in meekness and in wisdom is the fact that we give glory to God, like Daniel gave glory to God for God giving him the answer to King Nebuchadnezzar's question. What is this dream all about? Always giving God the glory that, you know what? I've done nothing. I have not succeeded in anything that God did not give me the success and the victory. I think about Joshua. God told Joshua, the only way you're going to have success in the promised land is abiding by my word, letting my word guide you. And God's word is the wisdom that we need. Because God's word never leads us astray. God's word will always lead us in the direction of God, and that is the wisdom. If I could tell the future, And sometimes I wish I could tell the future. Sometimes I wish I knew all the answers. But that's why I need God, because I don't know the future. I don't have all the answers. And I need God to guide me and lead me just like you. Go back, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. What we don't want to do as we continue to grow and continue to be rooted in the wisdom of Christ. And again, when you think about roots, you think about a root, the roots on a tree, the roots on bushes, they continue to grow and grow and grow. They go deeper and deeper and deeper, getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what we want to do in our Christian life, in the wisdom of Christ, is to become stronger and stronger in the wisdom of God and never getting to a place where we devalue the wisdom of God because we're believing the wisdom of the world. Remember, we do live in this world, but this world will never guide us in the direction of Christ. And praise the Lord, there are people in this world that will encourage us in the Lord, but the world itself, as the Bible describes the devil as the god of this world that keeps people blinded and in the dark, the wisdom of this world will never guide us in the direction that God wants us to go, and we don't ever want to come to a place where we devalue the wisdom of God by lifting up the wisdom of man or the wisdom of this world. Look at verse 14, 15, and 16 of James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 14, 15, and 16. Again, verse 13, let me just back up, says, "Who is a wise man and doeth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Verse 14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above," not from the Lord. And you notice he does use the word wisdom, this wisdom, because this bitter envying, the strife in your hearts, says, "Glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." The first thing we see in verse 14 is the fact that when we devalue God's wisdom, we find that there's divisiveness, there's bitter envying, there's strife, because, the world teaches that you're number one, I'm number one, everybody else is second, and we fight against everybody else. Everybody else is wrong, I'm always right. But I can admit to you tonight, there's been plenty of times where I've been wrong. Now, do we ever want to admit that we're wrong? No. We don't ever want anyone to think or to know that we're wrong. And that's where the bitterness, the envying, the strife comes into play. Keep a finger here, but go back to chapter 1 and verse 26. Chapter 1 and verse 26. Because honestly, when we devalue the wisdom of God and we lift up man's wisdom, we lift up our own wisdom, I could go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and think, you know what? Adam and Eve, they devalued the wisdom of God. God told them what would happen if they ate the forbidden fruit. He gave them all the other herbs, all the other fruit trees to eat. He just said, this one, leave it alone. But because they were tempted with wisdom to be like God and to choose what's right for you, they devalued the wisdom of God. They lifted up their wisdom and said, oh, you know what? It looks like it's good for food. It's going to make me wise. Why wouldn't God want me to have it? And they took it. They devalued God's wisdom, and it brought harm in their life. God's wisdom will never bring harm into our life. It may bring testing, but God will never bring harm into your life to destroy you like the devil. In James chapter 1, look at verse 26, the Bible says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Again, speaking about bitter envying and strife, God's wisdom teaches us a soft answer turneth away wrath. Soft answer turneth away wrath. Again, I think about many times Jesus They always wanted to trip him up in his words. The fact that they would purposely bring a woman caught in adultery, throw her down at Jesus' feet and say, the law says she must die, but what do you say? Tempting him, wanting him to respond contrary to truth. They wanted to catch him in some lie, in some contradiction, so they could condemn him. And they never could find anything wrong with him, so they condemned him anyway. But Jesus always spoke softly, not to his critics, but to those that, think about the woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, even when the disciples came and were wondering, you know, why is he talking to her? Even those that had leprosy, that were the outcasts, they could not live in the city, nobody wanted to be around them, yet Jesus went among them. Jesus healed them. He touched them. What I'm saying is, God's wisdom teaches us, and you know this, but as we think about becoming more rooted in Christ, I'm no better than anybody else. I'm no better than anybody else. As Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. We learn that the successes that we gain in life are because of God's grace. We learn that as we grow in the Lord, it's because of the grace of God in our life. God working in our life. And the wisdom of this world, again, when you think about just being in the world, whether you're in the workforce, whether you're just in society going through stores and stuff, you hear people talk themselves up, how they're better than somebody else. The Lord always wants us to be meek and mild. He always wants us to humble ourselves, knowing that the Lord is the one that lifts us up. Knowing that, you know what? God's the one that has even given us the ability to do anything and the wisdom to be able to even understand. You know, I think about this sometimes as I try to teach people the Bible, and I have, there are those that I counsel and stuff, try to teach them things out of the Bible. You know, I've got the mindset, because I believe it's the mindset that God wants us to have, that Paul had. Paul said that when he would go among people, Paul, who was, again, this is not me, this is Paul. Paul was well educated. He said he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. I mean, he was taught under the best, under Gamaliel. But he said, you know what? When I came in among you, I came in not knowing anything but Jesus Christ. Though he was someone who was prominent among his peers, someone that was highly educated, yet he got down on the level of people and communed with them, talked to them about Christ, talked to them about how the Lord could change their life and kind of met their needs. What I'm saying is, the wisdom of God shows us how to be like Christ. Shows us how to, as the first deacons, we call them in Acts chapter 6, they knew how to serve. They had humble hearts. They had wisdom. God gave them wisdom to know how to do things. And we look at verse 15 and 16 of James chapter 3. Very quickly it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Not only does, when we devalue godly wisdom, you know, it's devalued when we are decisive, when we allow bitter envying and strife in our heart, when we lift ourselves up above other people, but it's devalued when, according to Scripture, when we're devilish. You might think, well, Pastor, right? How can a child of God be devilish? If he's a child of light, he's a child of God. Again, in the ways that we act, again, not saying anybody in here, but this is warning for all of us, because like I said earlier, the wisdom of this world is completely opposite. It's the polar opposite of the wisdom of God. And if we're following the wisdom of the world, then we're following the devil. We're following the god of this world that blinds people and keeps people from the truth that will help them. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, you're saved this evening. You know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're a child of the light. You're not walking in darkness. You're a child of the light. And as you have fellowship within the light, with the Lord, I mean, you see things. He reveals things. But again, when we find ourselves, if we ever find ourselves, you know, going after the wisdom of this world, and there's various ways to do that, various ways that even Christians will seek after the worldly counsel of men, yet it goes against the Lord. Because again, God is who we should be seeking after for guidance in our life, for wisdom in our life, for things that are going on, because we know that God will never lead us astray. God will always show us what is right. But the god of this world, as the Bible refers to the devil, not that he created the world, but he's in this world walking around deceiving people, trying to keep the lost in the dark, fighting against the children of light, resisting them. We've got to make sure, as this tells us, look at 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Oh, that's not right. Fetch it a second. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." All right, so the minds of those that don't even believe in Jesus Christ, they're blinded to the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Again, we don't want to allow ourselves to become blinded because we adhere to the wisdom of this world. We want to be rooted in the wisdom of Christ that never fails, the wisdom of Christ that never leads us into darkness. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And may the Holy Spirit of God speak to us tonight on this issue. Again, my words are not powerful. My words are not even, sometimes they come out of my mouth and they fall to the ground. But God's wisdom, God's word is what helps us. God's wisdom is what we need in the last hour that we're living. In the last hour, I mean the last days before Christ returns. Okay, because remember the Bible warns us, before I even read this, the Bible warns us in the last days there'll be a great falling away. People will be drawn away with itching ears, hearing new things, being enticed by things that seem, you know, godly because it has Christ, the name of Christ attached to it. But yet it's all deception. It's all to draw people away from the truth and away from being rooted in Christ and in the wisdom of the Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, God wants us to remain rooted. Look at just verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein. God wants us to abound in being rooted in Christ. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world or of the world, and not after Christ. Understand, the wisdom of this world, the wisdom of men that are not following Christ, will not lead us to follow Christ, will not lead us to trust in the Lord, to believe in the Lord, and to follow the ways of the Lord. The wisdom of man will always lead people away from the Lord. We'll do this, take this, go here, go there. You'll find what you need, and they never do. It's an endless road following the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man will never help us to grow in the Lord. The wisdom of man will never help us to see where we need to be humble. where we need to be meek in our life and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about just the wisdom of the world, I want you to go back and look at verse 17 of James chapter 3. And just think about the dignity of godly wisdom. The dignity of godly wisdom. We don't want to devalue the wisdom of God. The lost people do that. You can't expect a lost person who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ to follow the ways of the Lord. You try to encourage them, but until they know Christ as their Savior, they're not going to have a desire to follow the ways of the Lord. We have, as God's people, that desire to follow the ways of God, and we want God's wisdom, but we still live in a world that tempts us to follow man's wisdom. And sometimes man will try to mix some truth in with their lies to get people to follow the false path, to follow a path of destruction. In verse 17, the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Again, the wisdom that descendeth not from above, verse 15, but is earthly, is sensual and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion, every evil work. Confusion. Remember that. God's not the author of confusion. God does not have us walk in confusion or in darkness. God enlightens us through His Word. God helps us not to be confused because He's not the author of confusion. If we ever find ourselves being confused over anything, no, it's not of the Lord, especially when it comes to the matters of Christianity, true Christianity, walking with the Lord, being rooted in Christ. Again, why are there so many different versions of the Bible? Confusion. Why are there so many different denominations? Confusion. Why do people teach there's multiple ways to heaven? Confusion. The devil's all about confusion. God has given one way of salvation. We know that. The Bible teaches us that. The Bible tells us plainly it's through Jesus Christ. And to have a blessed life is to walk with the Lord. But when you look at verse 17, again, it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. So the wisdom that is from above, always it comes from God. It comes from the Father of lights. It comes from Jesus Christ. And the wisdom that comes from God, it's first pure. Just think about the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world, the Bible says, it's earthly, it's sensual, it's devilish. There's envying and strife and confusion in every work mixed with it. But the wisdom of God is pure. There's no shadow of carnality. It's pure from pride. It's pure from divisiveness. It is evidenced through the person who doesn't make decisions based on the counsel of the unsaved. It's pure. It's not mixed with anything that can harm the person or lead the person astray. Remember what it says in Psalm chapter 1? As the psalmist begins saying, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, because he's being rooted in the wisdom of God and not in the wisdom of this world. He's following the ways of God, the wisdom of God that is pure. Pure. There's no confusion mixed with it. There's no evilness mixed with it because it comes from our Heavenly Father. It comes from the Father of lights. It comes from God. The second thing we see about godly wisdom is not only is it pure, but it's peaceable. It's peaceable. And being it's peaceable, we find three realms of peace in the wisdom of God. Look at Romans chapter 5. God's wisdom brings true peace into a person's life. In Romans chapter 5, look at verse number 1. Romans 5 and verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace, the wisdom that comes from God, it's first pure, but it's peaceable. We know that we have peace with God because of Jesus Christ in our life. There's a peace with God. We'll look at Philippians chapter 4. There's an inner peace. I don't know, have you ever, get to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Have you ever listened to someone's counsel? Someone trying to give you advice and it just didn't sit well with you. It was like, I don't know if I like that advice. It sounds like it might come with some harm, or it might come, you know, not turning out so well. You know, not everybody that gives advice gives good advice. But the advice that God gives, there's always an inner peace. You know it's right because the Holy Spirit inside of you testifies that it is right because it is the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Again, when our hearts and minds are fully trusting the Lord in the details of our life, we have that inner peace because we're trusting God's counsel. We're trusting God's wisdom. We're rooting ourselves in the wisdom of Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 5. As we look at the words of Christ, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. The peace that comes from God's wisdom. I tell you what, it just reminds us we have peace with God and there's an inner peace. We know that, you know what, this is right. It is true. It's going to guide me because it is of God. And it helps us to have peace with others as well. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. The Bible tells us, as Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know, the wisdom of God tells us, live peaceably with all men as much as lieth within you. Doesn't mean, you know, I have to try to make everybody agree with me and everybody has to like me and everybody has to listen. No. It's just you don't allow yourself to get drawn into arguments all the time and to get drawn into debates. Don't allow yourself to be easily offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. All right? Again, we are to be the peacemakers because we have the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts because we're walking and we're rooted in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Another thing that we find with the wisdom of God, it's pure, it's peaceable, and it's patient. Go back and look at James. We find ourselves learning how to be patient through the wisdom of God. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Gentle, easy to be entreated. Patience. It helps us to be patient. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Because again, when you listen to worldly wisdom, worldly counsel, most of the time, there's an unsettledness with it. You're anxious about it. You're hoping it turns out the way the person said that it should turn out. I'm doing what they said, and I'm not seeing the results. And we become impatient. But when we're resting in Christ, and we're rooted in the wisdom of God, and we know that God is always right, you know what? If I'm waiting on God, then I know that everything will be all right. I know that God's timetable is a better timetable than mine. I know that God will show up on time. I know that God will fulfill His will, His desire in my life. And they're just, again, it causes us to be patient because we are resting in the one who's doing the work. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Think about the wisdom that comes from God. It helps us to respond to people patiently. Helps us to respond to people, to respond to situations with the patience of God. That we know that we're in good hands, we're in the hands of God, and we know that God will help things to be productive in our life the way that it needs to be. Look at Colossians chapter 3 again. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The wisdom of God, again, it's pure, it's peaceable. The wisdom of God is patient. It's not impatient. Sometimes we find ourselves wanting to help something speed up when some things take time. In Colossians chapter 3, you look at verse 16. And the Bible says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We find the wisdom of God is very productive in our own life, because the wisdom of God helps us to be settled in Christ, helps our hearts to be full of the new songs that God has spoken to us about, helps our hearts to be full of grace, helps us to wait patiently upon the Lord, helps us to be able to do anything without any pretense. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. When you think about, when you compare the wisdom of this world, wisdom of man, and the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God surpasses, far surpasses the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man it's fallible. It's temporal. It can't always be trusted because not everyone that gives you counsel has your best interest in mind. But God always has your best interest in mind because he has thoughts of peace towards you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. The wisdom of God teaches us not to have pretense in our affairs with others. Again, the wisdom of this world is all about self. It's all about self-gain. It's all about looking out for number one instead of yielding to number one, who is Jesus Christ. Godly wisdom is a priceless treasure, somebody once said, and it is not one that we should take for granted. Godly wisdom is a priceless treasure and is not one that we should take for granted. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 3 as we come to a close. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13, the Bible says, happy. We talked about being happy this morning in our morning service. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And obviously, speaking about the wisdom of God, finding the wisdom of God, getting understanding through the wisdom of God. And as somebody else once said, let's let our roots sink deep in Christ as we set out on the journey of walking in him through walking in wisdom. Again, as we continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord, grow in our faith, we want to continue growing in the wisdom of God, being that tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, the one that doesn't listen to the counsel of this world, but listens and lives by the wisdom of God, so that we will see the fruit that bears out in our life, that we walk in wisdom, that we're rooted in Christ, we're growing in the Lord, and Christ is more evidence in our life. Christ is more preeminent in our life, because our life should always be wrapped up in Christ. God has a perfect will and a perfect purpose for each of our lives. And he wants his wisdom to be what guides us and that we rely upon.